First, I got to correct something that I said last week. I realized it right after I said it, but if I tried to correct myself, I would have lost my train of thought. But I said something about Abraham and Lazarus asking for him to cool his tongue off with a drop of water. But I spoke wrong. It wasn't Lazarus, because Lazarus was with him. It was the rich man that was on the other side of the gulf. So I spoke wrong. But that doesn't matter. My point of the story was that I didn't believe. I see it as more evidence that it wasn't actually Samuel that one medium summoned up, because Abraham had told the rich man that even if he sent somebody back from the dead, if they didn't believe Moses and the prophets, they still wouldn't believe the guy that came back from the dead. So I don't believe that Samuel was actually risen up. But on that note, too, it doesn't really matter for what I was saying if it actually was Samuel or not. It was the way they went about it that was wrong. That was the point I was trying to make. It was the fact that he used a medium, not going to God. He went to a medium to summon up a human that had died. It was the wrong way. So I just felt like I had to correct that. So last week, we talked about the power of imagination a little bit. We didn't mention the fact that that's actually, your imagination is actually where most of your sinning takes place. Not just everything that we see come to fruition in this world, but also where most of your sinning takes place, your lust, hatred, envy, strife, all that stuff. It's your imagination. It's where most of that takes place. There's two sides to the spirit realm we're going to get into. We talked about a few ways to access the spirit realm, a few ways that are wrong. Accessing the wrong side, the dark side, the evil side. We talked about people's desire. People have a desire for that. They're so easily seduced to that stuff because we were made for it. We're made to walk in the spirit. We were created to walk with God. God is a spirit. We're created to walk in the spirit, but we're here. We talked about some of the ways, like the Egyptian magicians, how they performed signs, they performed wonders, miracles. Obviously not through the right way. We talked about the guy, I think I mentioned his name, Dr. Joe Dispenza. He's a guy, he's alive today, that does this same kind of thing in my mind. He does this New Age meditation stuff. He does it under the guise of science, so it seems like it's an okay thing. He's a doctor, and they do studies, but it's still the same concept as what they did back then, accessing the spirit realm in the wrong way. Our goal as Christians, yeah, is to access the spirit realm, but not to do it in a selfish way, which is what all of these other avenues are, is just seeking results for self, not seeking, like, our goal is to seek God, to seek his kingdom, to seek others first, not to seek these things. We're warned against that, not to seek signs and wonders. Those things are to follow those that believe. We're not to seek them. They're great things. But that's not our goal. It is a sign or a wonder. We're to seek God and his kingdom at whatever the cost. So now this week, we're going to start. Jesus made a comment many times. You guys have all heard it. Those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. He says it in different ways, but he's saying the same thing many times. He says it at least three times in the book of Matthew, at least three times in Mark. He says it at least twice in Luke, and John records Jesus saying it 8 times in the book of Revelation. That's something that's very, very important, having eyes to see and ears to hear. I want to go to Jeremiah real quick. You can go there if you want, but we're not going to spend a lot of time. We're going to speed through it. Jeremiah chapter 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, later in chapter 1, it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, a third time in chapter 1, it says, and the word of the Lord came to me a second time. Chapter 2, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. Chapter 7, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Chapter 11, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Chapter 14, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah. Chapter 16, the word of the Lord also came to me. Chapter 18, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. 21, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah. 30, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. 32, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. You see a common theme. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. Chapter 33. And again, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. 34, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Second time in 34, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. 35, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. I think we get the point. Jeremiah obviously had ears to hear. It's very important. It's very important to us even still today to have ears to hear. Hearing God is not something you can't force God to speak. And I think this is an example. This is why I brought this up, because anytime Jeremiah heard something from the Lord, it was the word came to him. He never seemed to force anything from God. Some people seem to think that you can, how do you word it? I don't know, make him talk. There's lots of times in Jeremiah, you got to be careful too. There are false prophets in Jeremiah. There was one guy that gave a false word that said he heard from God. He obviously didn't. Jeremiah rebuked him and then gave a real prophecy and prophesied that guy's death, and he died that year, the false prophet. It's very important to learn how to hear God's voice, to hear what is God's voice, and that's what this is so important for, is for us to know the scripture, to know the word. Jeremiah, all of these instances, he was conscious of God, like intentionally conscious of God in his mind and his imagination. If you read the stories, he's focused on God. Therefore, God is able to just commune with him. The minor prophets, you can go through all the minor prophets, and half of them seem to have the same idea. seems like half of them hear just like that. The word of the Lord came to Joel, son of Pethuel. Amos, some of the other ones are more visionary. They see more versus just hearing. Amos, the Lord God showed me. And again, the Lord God showed me. Jonah, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Micah, the word of the Lord came to Micah. Zephaniah, the word of the Lord came to Zephaniah, son of Cushai. In the second year of King Darius, the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, son of the prophet to Zerubbabel. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah. The minor prophets are the same concept. The word of the Lord comes to them. God is able to speak to them. It's the same concept even in the New Testament. Paul heard the voice of the Lord when he had the vision on the road to Damascus. It mentions in another place that people around him saw the light, but nobody heard the voice that was talking to him. But Paul was able to hear the voice that was talking. Ananias, the guy that prayed for Paul, he heard God. He had a conversation with God. He was able to hear. All these guys were able to hear in the spirit realm. They had ears to hear. I had back when I first got, well, it was a couple of years after I got saved. Shortly after we got married, we were going to come up here to the cities because she had a grandma that lived in Andover here. And I remember getting off work and I just had this, I don't even know how to, it wasn't words, I just had a knowing in here. I don't know how to explain it still, but I just knew. So Lexi's sister was going to go up there too. I just knew that something was going to happen. There was going to be a car accident. It was explicit, not an accident, but car trouble that she was going to have on the way up to the cities. And so I told Lexi about this. I said, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like God's telling me something's going to happen to your sister on the way up here with their vehicle. Well, she got a text right as soon as we left that now they weren't going to make it because something happened with their vehicle. And we got up to the cities, and they did show up, but they were late. That's the one thing I told her. But nobody's gonna get hurt. Nothing bad was gonna happen. And we got up there, and she was telling Lexi what had happened. And she said they were coming off it was like a horseshoe on ramp onto the interstate, and a wheel, the front tire, the whole wheel, popped off. The bolts broke. It popped off, and it didn't fly away and hit anything. It just landed right in the grass. But their wheel came off, and nothing happened. Nobody got hurt. They called a guy. He came out, jacked it up, new bolts, put it back on. Good to go. They were just late. It was just a cool instance where God was able to speak to me. I was able to hear, and then Lexi was able to explain that to her sister, and it was really cool to see a reaction. I don't know that anything came of it, but they thought it was weird. There was, when I was working at a college, I remember driving home from work, and I was on the interstate, and I wouldn't consider myself a good driver back then. I would always just, if you're switching lanes, you know, you sometimes you don't think, you just blink once and go. I never do that now. But I looked in all my mirrors. I saw a motorcycle way behind me. I thought that guy was so far behind. I was coming up on another car. This is why I looked in my mirrors. I was probably going 10 miles faster than him. So I was going to pass him. As soon as I reached up to touch my blinker, because I was just going to blink and go at the same time. I know it was God. This thing told me, shut your radio off. As I reach up to touch my blinker, I didn't. Instead, I grabbed back onto the wheel, shut the radio off, and the second I shut the radio off, I was all excited because I thought God was going to speak to me. He's going to say something. So I shut the radio off, and the second I did, that motorcycle that was blocks behind me just flew past me. Had to be going 100 miles an hour. If I would have just blinked and went over, I would have either ran him off the road, I would have hit him, he would have rear-ended me. It would not have been good. But because I listened to that little voice that's so easy to ignore, somebody's potentially father, somebody's son, somebody's uncle is still alive. It's very important once you know the voice of God to listen to it. If we go through Ezekiel, just like we did with Jeremiah, you'll see that oftentimes, I'm not going to do it, oftentimes Ezekiel, depends on the translation, sometimes it says, Ezekiel's talking, and he says, I looked and I saw. Or it says, I sat and I watched. He's very visionary. He saw. He had eyes to see in the spirit. It's just really cool to think of. So I remember sitting in a church service one time at a Vineyard church that I went to, and I don't remember anything about the service. I don't remember what was being talked about. Nothing. But I remember it was the first time I had one of these, I would call a vision. I was sitting there, and it's like you space out, kind of. I remember seeing, but I wasn't looking with my eyes. My eyes were open, but I can't. You know how you space out sometimes and you just don't see anything that's around you. That's what I was doing. But I remember seeing off into the distance, I saw a planet. That's what I thought it was anyway, at least. And it just exploded. And you could see the explosion about 3 seconds later, 4 seconds later. I could hear it. I heard it. And then another 3, 4, 5 seconds later, also I could feel it, like a gust of wind. You could feel the effect of it. I would consider that a vision. God's used that many times. I wouldn't go around preaching that. I feel comfortable sharing that with you guys because I don't think you guys think I would be lying. But it's something that God has used to speak to me about many different things since then in my life. It was a vision. It was one of the few times he's allowed me to see something. It was really cool. It's not something that I forced, that I daydreamed, that I made up, that I was seeking, anything like that. It was God just, for whatever reason, he was able to. And he did, and I saw. These visions happen in the New Testament. As well, Peter had his vision in Acts 10. Try to find it real quick. Not going to read the whole thing. But the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the house to pray. About the sixth hour, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Like he spaced out. fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners descending. You guys all know the story. The story where the different kind of animals came down on the sheet, and God used this to talk to Peter about not only dietary laws, but about Gentile believers and how not to consider them unclean. It was a vision Peter got to see with his eyes. Paul had a vision. He talks about it in Acts. I didn't write it down. I knew I was going to forget. I think Acts 16, but he was recounting his story about the road to Damascus, and then he also recounted that the Lord stood before him and told him not to, was it not to go to Jerusalem? I think it was. But Paul had a vision. He had multiple visions. I like Isaiah. We're going to go to Isaiah real quick. I really like this. Isaiah, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw. How do you see a word? Isaiah was a crazy prophet in my eyes. I like reading him. I heard a guy say one time, and I'll never forget it because it makes you think. He just said this simple comment. He said, "What if in heaven you can taste colors? Like your senses are so heightened in the spirit realm compared to what they are now." It makes you think, like, with all your senses, this, he's not talking about what if you could taste purple, like it tastes like grape, or something red as strawberry, like what if it has a taste, what if it has a smell, what if you can, you know, what if you can feel music, what if you can taste music in heaven. I have no idea. I think we have no idea what it will be like. But what if all of your senses, what if when God talks, you can see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, all of the above. And it's overwhelming. I think Job is the one that says this, "Woe is me, I am undone," when he was standing before God. Like, what if that's what it is when all your senses are extremely heightened? I just think it's really cool to think about that. We have no idea. No idea what the spirit realm is going to be like. First Samuel, I want to go to Samuel. You guys all know this story. Now the boy Samuel ministered to God before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation, and it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered. He said, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli said, "I did not call you, lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call you, son. Lie down again." And it says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." This is why when he heard his name being called, he went to Eli. He did not realize, he didn't recognize, nobody had revealed to him yet the voice of the Lord. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then it clicked. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went, lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Now this time, I find it interesting, after it was revealed to him that this voice was the Lord, that now God seems to, I don't know how you would almost have more access to Samuel. He didn't just call his name again. It mentions that he came and stood and called his name, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. This time, he was consciously speaking to God. He was consciously responding to God, not to Eli. I don't know if we see this very often or not. I know I didn't for a long time. It's very important to be conscious of God, to be consciously talking to him. It's easy. You can be in a conversation. Everybody does it. You can be in a conversation, not hear a thing the other person says. You can just be spaced out. Something else stuck in your head, not hear anything. It's very important to be conscious and aware when talking to God. Now this time Samuel responded to God, and then God was able to give a full-on prophecy right here. We're not going to get into it because it's not a very good one about Eli and Eli's family. But Samuel was now able to hear. This is the beginning. Samuel was able to hear God almost crystal clear. I wouldn't say only because, but I think it had a lot to do with Eli showing him that it was the voice of the Lord, telling him, making him aware of it so that he could consciously respond to God. This is why it's so important for us to teach kids, new believers, people growing up in the Lord, the voice of God, how to hear, how to see it. It's so important. I like thinking about if Eli never said anything to Samuel, never told him that it was God, would Samuel have ever known? We can't say for sure, but he may not have. He may have thought he was going crazy. He may have just ignored it, shut it out. I don't know, but one person told him it was God. And we all know all the stuff that Samuel did. So, I want to throw a thought out there. Now that Samuel knows that this is God and he's able to be consciously speaking to God, what if, just like me telling that story of that thing in the high school I told about last week, when I spoke to it, I gave it, how do you word it, a door into my life, access into my life. Whatever I did, speaking to it, gave it ability to do something in my life and in my realm. And it took that medicine ball, put it on the wall, and put it on the floor. What if, just like that, not the opposite is true, but the same is true when it comes to God. Every time that we are conscious about God, we open up a door. And I don't necessarily like using the Christian lingo like you were saying, but there's a reason why we say these things that we say. What if every time you talk to God, consciously talk to him, you're opening a door for our side of the spirit realm to do something in our life and in our realm? I personally believe that to be true. Every time we pray, every time we worship, every time we do anything focused on God, on his kingdom. there's two sides in the spirit realm. I mentioned that. Obviously, you guys all know there's the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the enemy. There's life, there's death, however you want to word it. There's our side, and then there's the other side. There's many different ways that we can access this, that we can access the spirit realm. Keeping our minds stayed upon the Lord, the meditation. You can do that the wrong way. We talked about that. You can do that the right way. You can meditate on God, on His Word, on His kingdom. It's like Joshua in the Old Testament. There's a story when Moses walked away from the tent of meeting in the presence of the Lord. I believe the Bible tells us left, at least the visible presence, but Joshua would not leave. He stood there at the tent to stay, try his best to stay in the presence of God. That was Joshua's attitude his whole life in the Old Testament. He just wanted to be with God and look at what God was able to do through him because of his obedience, because of all the doors that he opened up to God in his life. You can enter in through worship. This is probably my weakest link, but you very much can. I hear stories all the time from even people here about these experiences that are almost, well, not almost, but are spiritual, I believe, just from entering in through worship. You can see things, hear things, get words from God. It's in states like that where I would be less likely to believe that it was a word from somebody else if you're actually focused on God, worshiping Him. You can enter in through thanksgiving. That was just said today. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. That actually is a big part of my life. I have to force myself to be thankful, and I'm getting better at it because I'm not good at it. But you really do have to force yourself, and you really can, I believe, enter into the presence of God just through thanksgiving. I remember one time, this is another story, I wouldn't feel comfortable sharing, but I do with you guys. But this was last summer. I was sitting at home, sitting on the couch. It was dark. The lights were off. I was by myself. And I was just forced myself to just start thanking God. So I was thanking God for everything. The Bible says to be thankful in all things, not just thankful in the good things. Thankful in all things. So I was just thanking him. It was probably, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. Sitting there on the couch, eyes closed. All of a sudden I heard this. I don't know if it was a trumpet, or I'd have to hear different kind of instruments. I don't know, but it was a loud instrument. You could hear it. It was loud, and it felt like it was not getting louder, but it was getting closer. I didn't hear it with my ears, but it was the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life. And it kept getting closer and closer, and then all of a sudden I heard a couple of wing flaps like you would hear on a movie with a dragon or something that was like huge, huge wings. And then I heard this huge thud right in front of me, and I felt it. And part of me got excited again because I thought, oh, I'm going to see something. But then part of me got really scared. I opened my eyes, obviously. The second I opened my eyes, it's just poof, nothing. Everything's gone. The noise is gone. Everything's gone. It's a story that you can tell from two different perspectives. You could tell it from the guy that's not a believer. I could just see it. They say something about something to the effect of, it's convenient, you know, that you are alone in a room in the dark by yourself, eyes closed, daydreaming. All of a sudden you hear a noise. All of a sudden a gargoyle comes through your roof and lands on the floor in front of you. And you open your eyes and there's nothing. It's so easy to mock what you don't understand. I have no respect whatsoever for anybody that can mock somebody. It takes no intelligence. It takes no effort. It just comes natural to the carnal person. It takes no, I don't even know. It's terrible. It takes zero intelligence to mock. It takes no courage to mock somebody. But for somebody that would stand up and tell of something that God has done for them, knowing that they're going to be mocked, knowing that they're going to be made fun of, not believed, all that stuff, like that person I have respect for. That had nothing to do with anything, but the story, I was able to hear what I believe was something that actually happened in the spirit. It's not something that I'm going to go around and preach or anything. I'm just saying that just as an example. God still speaks to us today. He still speaks to us in the spirit. He always has. He always will. We can enter in to the spirit realm just through the word, just through studying his word, meditating on his word. The Bible says to meditate on his name. He says he will keep in perfect peace those who keep their minds stayed upon the Lord. However it takes you to get your mind stayed upon him. Why will he keep you in perfect peace? After you keep your mind stayed upon him, I think it's a simple answer, because now he can. Because now your mind is stayed, you're being conscious of him, deliberately conscious of him. Through praise, you can enter in through praise. That verse, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. It's the same concept of thanksgiving. Instead of just sitting there thanking, you can even just read some psalms. There's lots of psalms that praise God. You just agree with those. You can just praise him for all the good that he is, that he does, for who he is. You can enter in by praying in the Spirit, which is something that, yeah, it's done in the flesh, but it's way more than that. It's done in the Spirit. It's done in this other realm that you cannot see. But God can see it. And I think it's realer than what we're doing in the physical. All of these ways, I believe, are ways of walking in, of dwelling in, of living in the Spirit, however you want to word it, giving God more access to your life, giving God the ability to do more in your life, in your realm. We're going to go to Acts 12 real quick. Another story you guys have all heard. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayers were offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself." Hold on, I gotta shut this off. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him. And he did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. I find this really cool, where Peter didn't even know if this was real or a vision. He actually thought it was a vision, so obviously the visions that Peter has had have been so real that he thought they were real, which they were real, if that makes any sense. Your visions can be just like these people that have these spiritual experiences through the wrong ways. They often say that what they see, what they felt, experienced, was realer than reality. We have access to the same thing. Acts chapter 16. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Because of their praising God and worshiping, God was given access into their life to be able to do this incredible thing in their realm, in their life. I wonder if this could have happened if they weren't praying and singing hymns to God. I wonder if it wouldn't have happened. I'm not going to say it wouldn't have, but I think there's reason to believe that it wouldn't have. The same thing when Peter was freed. It tells us in the beginning that so many prayers were being offered up by the other saints for Peter. Your prayers not only affect you, your prayers affect others. This is why we pray for people. That's why we pray for others. Why we say things like prayer has no, it's not bound by distance or time or anything like that. He can pray for people on the other side of the world, however far away the church was from Peter at that time. It worked. I believe that the right way to walk in the Spirit is obviously to simultaneously walk in the flesh. I think I brought that up last week about the analogies with the dietary laws, why we're supposed to eat the animals with the split hoof. No, you're not supposed to walk after the flesh, but we are in the flesh. We're to walk after the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is not a physical, carnal thing. These examples, when we do these things, this is when God can take a smooth stone and he can take down a giant. David was a man after God's own heart. He was constantly in communion with God. David said in the Psalms, "I put the Lord continually before me." When David was up against Goliath, God was right there in David's eyes, literally. This is how the seas can be held back, the rivers can be held back. This is how the city walls can fall down just because of the collective voice of humans being obedient to God. That's how armies can crumble, because one man, Isaiah, was able to believe, to trust God, to stand in God's presence, and to speak what God said. Isaiah is the one that the king went to when all of Judah was taken over and there was only one city left to be taken, Jerusalem. And Isaiah is the one that told him not to fear because God was going to take care of it. If they didn't have Isaiah, what would have happened? That's why it's so important. Even if you're just one man, one woman, you know what I mean? You're one person to be obedient. You have no idea the impact that your obedience can have, that your relationship with God that you may think is just simple, it's nothing. You have no idea the impact that that could make. It could, and it did, literally defeat an army. One person with God. It's the same thing with David. When Goliath was defeated, the Philistines fled. It's the same concept. He tells us to draw near to him. He brought that up today too. Draw near to me, and I will draw near unto you. Why does he say that? I believe it's simple. I believe because now he can. When you draw near to him and you open those doors or open the gate or broaden the door, however you want to word it, the closer you draw to him, the more access you're giving him to your life, into your life, into your realm, to use you, to affect not just you but people around you, the rest of the church. And I don't want to say it in the sense of like we are supposed to, like it's about us going to God. I don't believe that that's necessarily the case. I believe maybe we could talk about that someday, but God's original plan, I believe, as far as salvation and us was always for him to come to us. It was always his desire to come to us. Jesus talks about that like a hen gathers his chicks. It was always his goal to come to us, but I believe because of the fall, because of what happened with Adam, that now we do, in a sense, have to give God a door. I have to give him access now because now we've brought in another. We've opened the door to the other side, so to speak. We now know both good and evil. And the Bible uses that word know oftentimes to talk about how a man knew his wife and they bore a child. Now mankind knows evil intimately and has bore fruit with it. Now we have to give God place back in our life, and that's what these things are for, this meditating on him, on his word, worship, praise, thanks, all these things that we talked about. Just giving God more access into our life. I guess I'm done. So, Father, thank you for everybody here tonight. Thank you for everybody that's listening. I just ask that you bless everybody. I don't mean that in some cheesy way. I mean really bless them. In Jesus' name, I ask that you bring to their knowledge every time that they read how much the spirit realm actually affects us, not just in the past, but today. I ask that every time that they read your word, that they see. They see everything that you've done. Almost that this concept of what we can do in the spirit realm is so prevalent that we see it all the time, that it almost bugs us that we can't stop seeing it. I just ask that you bless everybody here. Thank you for them. Thank you for you. I hope to see them next time. In Jesus' name.